This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The health news and information site HealthGrove released a study earlier this year that put Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky at the top of a list of states with the most air pollution, based on data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Joining us from the Hamilton County Department of Environmental Services to discuss air quality and how pollution is monitored in the tri-state are Anna Kelly, Monitoring and Analysis Supervisor with the Southwest Ohio Air Quality Agency, and Public Relations Coordinator Megan Hummel. And Anna and Megan, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Megan, your thoughts on the HealthGrove survey and what it had to say.
I've not specifically seen that study, but there are oftentimes studies similar to that that come out from time to time, a lot of times around this time of year with Earth Day coming up soon. And so really, the overall message is that, happily, the air quality here in our area has been dramatically improved over the last several decades and keeps getting better every year.
But obviously, there's still some work to do in this area.
Obviously, there is. We keep getting better, but the national standards for air quality keep getting stricter, which means there's always continued work we all need to be doing.
And how does the air quality in our region compare to, say, what it was 20, 30 years ago?
Actually, Mark, we've seen a huge decrease in all of our criteria pollutants. That's how that we monitor, or the U.S. EPA monitors. The air quality is based on six criteria pollutants, and those would be, if you'd like me to tell
sure.
you all, carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, particulate matter, both in a size fraction of 10 microns and 2.5 microns, ozone, and lead. And so we've seen a reduction probably on average since 1990 through 2014, usually greater than just about 50% in all of them. Ozone's one that we've seen a 25% reduction.
Why is ozone a concern? What's the problem with that?
Well, ozone is an irritant to the lungs, the lining of the lungs. And people who are asthmatic or have breathing difficulties, increased ozone concentrations cause more breathing problems for them. And so that's why it is a national ambient air quality standard, because the national ambient air quality standards are based on health studies. And US EPA every 5 years is required to review those health studies and to determine whether they need to tighten the standard if the health studies indicate that maybe a lower standard or a tighter standard is more protective of public health. So that's their job to do, and they've reviewed it. And as a result, actually, for ozone, we do have a new national ambient air quality standard of 70 parts per billion, or 0.070 parts per million, measured over an 8-hour period. So the standard, if it's above 70 parts per billion in that 8-hour period, is an exceedance of the national ambient air quality standard. So EPA wants to be protective of public health and welfare. So they will look at these every 5 years and reassess and reevaluate, and maybe we have a new standard on all those air quality pollutants.
And the national standards that Anna was speaking of, that's really the important factor. That's what we look at when we want to see the health of our air quality here in our area. So as far as ranking against other states or other cities is not really how we kind of keep track of the health of our current air. It's really how we compare to those national standards that's important.
Yeah, Megan, I remember a time when I was growing up that there'd be days where you literally couldn't see the buildings. The air was so bad. Do we still have times where that happens?
Thankfully, we don't see that really very much anymore.
It seemed pretty common when I was a kid.
You'd see the black smoke coming out of smokestacks and the really thick haze and smog. And because of several national standards and regulations and some local programs, too, the air is greatly, greatly improved. And we really don't see those days anymore. And even, people hear of the word smog, we really don't even see days that are smoggy anymore. It's really just tremendously improved.
But does a clear blue sky, a sunny day necessarily mean the air quality is high, or are there pollutants that we can't see?
Well, yes. ozone is a pollutant that you really can't see. It is really formed secondarily. It's not directly emitted from any source. You need a couple of pollutants in the presence of sunlight to form ozone. So what we're going to be seeing, what we've seen and what we're going to be seeing on a nice, blue, clear, sunny day, we could have a high air quality index, or we could have an exceedance of the National Ambient Air Quality Standard for ozone, because you need the sunlight, you need what we call, what are called volatile organic compounds, and in also nitrogen dioxides in the presence of sunlight form ozone.
What's the term particulates mean? Because I hear that used.
Okay, yeah, particulate matter. Those are, a more common term is dust. But what we're seeing now, the size, we're starting to measure the particulate matter or the dust in a smaller size fraction. So the 2.5 is really actually an aerosol. Sometimes it's a liquid, sometimes it's a solid. So it's very, very fine dust. And that the problem with the particulate matter is, Mark, such that it causes a problem specifically for those folks not only with respiratory but also have cardiac conditions. So those are important. You want them, we want to get rid of those as well as limit the amount of ozone and the other pollutants in the air.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And what's the process, Anna, for measuring? I mean, how do you monitor the air quality?
Okay, well,
what kind of devices are at work here?
Okay, well, there are really highly, I should say, highly sophisticated, tested continuous monitors for the most part throughout the four-county area and throughout the United States of America. The ozone monitor is continuously monitoring. We take a reading probably every minute, and it's averaged over an hour to give us an hourly average. And so what happens is air is drawn in to the sampler, and it's compared to a standard in the sampler to let us know what concentration we're actually monitoring. Particulate matter, especially the size, the smaller size fraction, also is continuously monitored, as well as we also have a method that we measure it over 24 hours, and that's collected on a filter. But both of those are used to determine actually the quality of the air. The one that is filter-based is actually the standard that we use to determine whether we're in attainment for National Ambient Air Quality Standards. And we're working in our region to with the continuous monitor so that we can use that for NACS, what we call NACS, or compliance with the National Ambient Air Quality Standards.
Megan, for someone who has a concern about the air quality in their neighborhood, or maybe they've smelled an odor that they're bothered by, what can they do about that? Do you have a program that they can tap into?
We certainly do. We do have a hotline program where people can call our office. It's actually also available on our website, southwestohioair.org. It's a little bit easier to use on the website. And so anytime there is an odor, or someone may notice something, maybe smoke or dust in the air, they can call that in our office. We'll send an inspector out to meet with the person and take a look and see what's going on. Now, those situations typically are very separate from anything to do with the National Ambient Air Quality Standards, but we certainly will check that out for them.
Can a person do their do you take citizen air samples? Can
we somebody, certainly do.
Oh, how's
we
that
do.
Work?
We do have a citizen air sampling program. Where we can, many times in the past, a citizen has said, I had this odor, there was this odor in my neighborhood or near my work, and by the time your inspector got there, it was gone. So we can give that person a air sample canister and teach them how to use it, and when they smell the odor is the worst, they can take a sample, and then we'll come and get that canister and have it analyzed for them. So that takes away the time that our inspector has to drive to their house or to their workplace or wherever they are. So it really empowers the citizen to be able to be involved in that process and take the sample when they feel it's the worst.
One of the other things that the Southwest Ohio Air Quality Agency does is the air quality advisories. What typically triggers an advisory, Anna?
Well, what will trigger an advisory actually is weather-related. We look for clear skies, as we talked about, those clear blue skies, light wind, and temperatures that range like 80 degrees and above. And we will, based on the weather forecast, if those conditions are forecasted for the next several days, and we'll look at our ambient air concentrations, then we may call an air quality advisory. This year, we will be calling an air quality advisory when we anticipate or that the air quality index will be at 105 or greater. We will call unhealthy for sensitive groups, which is the US EPA air quality index category for anything 100 and above, if we think that the air quality is going to be 100 or above, but we'll call that actual advisory when we feel it's going, the air quality index will be 105 or greater. And what that'll do is let people who are very sensitive, in both cases, very sensitive to some of these pollutants, know that you know, they may need to take precautionary measures, as well as we've been working with businesses in our area to develop air quality plans for those days when we have air quality advisories. So the businesses will put into effect some special plans to help alleviate some of the pollutants in the air.
And Megan, could you, since that number went by kind of quickly, can you give that number that you gave of the complaint hotline number again?
Sure. They can call our office at 513-946-7777, or it's available online at southwestohioair.org.
And also, if they want to take part in the Citizen Air Sampling Program, if they have a complaint, they can do it through that number as well?
They can do that number, or the information's on the website as well.
How many, the air quality advisories, though, how many of those have we had recently?
Well, in 2015, I believe we issued five, and we had six exceedances of the National Ambient Air Quality Standard, and that was under the previous air quality standard of 75 parts per billion. 14 and 13, I believe we called no advisories. However, in 2012, we had a number of advisories we called. If folks remember, that was a real hot, dry summer, or we had a period there of a couple weeks that was really hot and dry. And so I forget the number that we called, but it was quite a several air quality advisories.
I think it was maybe, I can't remember, but it was, I remember it lasting probably around 80 days. We don't call
total
an advisory every single day. Sometimes we call an advisory and then we extend it for the following days. But it was several weeks there. It was a very, very hot summer and very stagnant air mass.
And last year, you actually made some changes in the air quality advisory program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did. Folks will remember the old smog alert program.
Right.
Everyone kind of knows that name. And last year, we introduced the new air quality advisory program for a couple of different reasons. One of the main reasons is because air quality can be an issue any time of year. It's not just in the summertime. Often we see issues in the summer because of the weather, but really any time we can have an air quality issue. There can be particular matter in the wintertime. And so we wanted people to be prepared for that. And we thought this was an opportunity to educate folks. And one of the second reasons is we really wanted to re-energize the business community. That was a key part of the old smog alert program, was the downtown business community was really involved. And so we wanted to get that conversation going again. So we've been meeting with businesses and organizations and governments and to help ask them to play a part in reducing air emissions. And one of the parts of that is to put an air quality business plan in place where we're asking them to take all of the small actions we're all supposed to do on an air quality advisory day, but put it together on a larger scale to make a bigger impact.
Let's talk with Sandy in Mount Lookout. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. And Cincinnati is at the bottom of the list in terms of air quality, and I've heard it's the coal-burning plants that are responsible for a lot of that. Is Cincinnati doing anything, you know, to do anything about that?
Well, that's a very good question, Sandy. What not only Cincinnati, but actually nationwide, there were stricter standards put into place for those types of coal-burning facilities. And as a result of those national regulations that put more limits on the coal-burning facilities or on industry that burn coal to reduce their emissions, as well as, at the time, natural gas was cheaper. So a lot of coal-burning facilities have switched over to natural gas, which is more clean-burning. And a number of coal-fired power plants or those have ceased burning coal because they can't meet the tighter requirements that US EPA is requiring. There are still some coal-burning power plants out there, and they do have tighter emission controls on them. So actually, overall, we have seen, even in the last year, a huge decrease a huge decrease in the number of pollutants and the sulfur dioxide that is emitted to the air.
Megan, real quickly to wrap us up here, can you give us some key points, some things that people can do to help reduce air pollution?
Absolutely. Even small things everyone can do to reduce air emissions. We really want people to be mindful of this during an air quality advisory, but really any day. Things like refuel your vehicle after 8 p.m. if there's an air quality advisory. Don't let your vehicle idle. Avoid using gas-powered lawn equipment and try to save electricity. All of those small things can add up.
Well, Anna and Megan, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anna Kelly, Monitoring and Analysis Supervisor with the Southwest Ohio Air Quality Agency, and Public Relations Coordinator Megan Hummel.